Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode 9 of Bold, a bouldering podcast. I hope you're all doing well, staying strong, and training safe. I thought I'd record an episode on one of my favorite bouldering, and specifically dynamic moves, the double dyno. When I first started bouldering, I hadn't trained upper body strength ever, so I quickly favored slab and problems that involved jumping. This also because of the size of the launching and catching holds. My beginner fingers couldn't quite get used to static bouldering on tiny crimps. Now this sly obsession with dynamic movement, and specifically the double dyno, kept influencing my training decisions for a solid 2 years. Now, I don't recommend this at all. You're better to train your weaknesses. I learned that early on, but only recently started following my own advice. So training weaknesses makes you feel weak, and that's exactly the challenge. Devoting a big chunk of your training to doing double dynos also produces some weird looks in the gym. It's a bit of a controversial move. It's not real bouldering or climbing. Routes with dynos are easy, they're parkour, you can't grade dyno problems, etc. Now, I'm not going to discuss this at all today. I'll only be getting into some general guidelines and some additional tips to perfect your own double dyno. Throughout this episode, I'll also be referring to a specific 8A V11 problem called Rainbow Rocket, situated in Fontainebleau, which is a one-move double dyno problem. This is to date the hardest dyno I have ever done, so I had to use every trick I had up my sleeve. If you want to see Rainbow Rocket for reference, check out Bold Bouldering on Instagram. Now, this episode will be divided into four following chapters. 1. Upper body, objectives and methods. 2. Lower body, objectives and methods. 3. Timing. And 4, the mental game, before, during, and after attempts. Let's get on with it. Chapter 1, Upper Body, Objectives and Methods. What's your upper body's objective in doing a double dyno? There's multiple, actually. First of all, you need to provide your body a point to pivot around when launching. This point is where your hands grip the starting holds. Second objective, you need your upper body to pull on those starting holds, helping your lower body to fling your body upwards and also steering your way up. Consider your legs the main engine and your arms the side rockets that keep the ship on a steady course. And the last objective of your upper body is latching on to the finishing hold or holds. 3 objectives, pivoting, launching and latching. So, how do we perfect and train these 3 aspects? Let's start with pivoting. So to pivot effectively, you should focus on keeping your arms only slightly bent. That is a simple science at play. You're trying to create as much momentum and leverage as you can by swinging your body around this pivot point. The further away your chest is from your hands in this initial stage, the more momentum you'll create. If you checked out Rainbow Rocket on my Instagram or anywhere else, you'll notice everyone starting with arms almost completely straight, knees bent all the way down and butt close to the ground. No one is starting close to the rock with tense arms. Now, training this pivoting phase is best done by a repetition. The most effective way I trained it is by trying to dyno segments on all the problems I top during a session. This way, you'll train to pivot on all kinds of holds and angles. Since pivoting is mostly about starting, it doesn't really matter what kind of difficulty you're going for here. Now, this pivoting of the upper body is of course only the initial stage of a dyno. So let's move on to the next moment of upper body action, launching. So gripping the starting holds on a double dyno is rarely a problem. Most dyno's difficulty lies in distance and angle, not in the size of the holds. So to train for the launching objective of a dyno, I suggest investing in raw strength. Regular pull-ups or variations on them, such as weighted pull-ups, one-arm pull-ups, etc., they work fine for this purpose. Focus on delivering short bursts of energy. You don't want to pull up slowly. If you feel comfortable and you have a steady bar, feel free to launch yourself in the air and catch back on the way down. Always pay attention to form. When this starts failing, finish the exercise. I of course recommend the bold strength training routine of 7 reps for 7 sets with 3 to 5 minutes of rest in between. If you want to know more about upper body strength and how to train it, check out episode 7. Last but not least, after enjoying a bit of relaxing airtime, your upper body has to fulfill its final purpose, latching on to the finishing hold and pulling you up. So this catching of the last hold is affected by finger strength, mental game, and timing. But simply put, your aim should be to exert your maximum amount of power on the last hold as fast as possible. Adjusting my focus and consciously influencing my thoughts helps me the most in latching onto holds. Before launching off, I remind myself to grip with my maximal amount of raw strength as soon as I feel rock again under my fingertips. In that moment, you should be a vicious predator that doesn't want to let go of its prey. Now, later on, we'll dive deeper into the correct mind state for sending double dynos that seem out of reach. A more physical and practical way to training latching onto holds is, again, repetition. Find a good set of starting holds on a training board, for example, and try to catch every hold in your reach. Experience comes with variation. So those were the 3 main objectives for your upper body, with some methods to achieving them. Now feel free to improvise around these objectives. There are lots of ways to train and improve on your pivoting, launching, and latching skills. Chapter 2. Lower body. Objectives and methods. The double dyno is one of the most leg-intensive moves in bouldering. The lower body aims to achieve the following objective. First of all, gripping or sticking, followed by launching, and last but not least, assisting in the top-out. Gripping or sticking, the first objective, refers to the initial placement of your feet on the starting footholds. Optimal grip is necessary and often harder to achieve on harder double dynos. So smearing and foot placement should be trained. I'll discuss some ways to achieve this. Smearing is highly present in outside bouldering and not all that present in bouldering gyms. Try to top your warm-up routes without footholds, relying on smearing alone with your feet. This way, you'll get used to putting pressure through your feet, more so than pushing on big footholds. And this control over the grip you have with your feet and shoes allows you to micro-adjust as to not slip when launching. Now, this has everything to do with the angle of your foot on the wall and the angle of your power output through your feet. So this experimenting with smearing on your warm-up routes will get you this specific experience. Another way to achieve better grip is to keep your foot starting holds and shoes clean. Keep a handy brush nearby to clean off any dirt, sand, etc. We want a clean connection between the rubber and the rock, nothing rolling in between. I actually found out that alcoholic disinfectant gel works great for this purpose. It also dries out your hands a bit before chalking up. Quick summary, before every try that I give on a double dyno project, I clean the foot starting holds and clean the tips of my shoes with disinfectant gel. While it evaporates, I chalk up. So everything's spick and span. Now that we have optimal grip on the rock, time to launch. Now, just like when we're catching the last hold with our hands, we're trying to exert as much raw power with our legs as quickly as possible when launching. Training this raw strength in your legs is a lot of fun and results show up fast. Anything that's really leg intensive but lasts a short amount of time is fitting to train your launching skill. I recommend looking into pistol squats. Basically, a one-legged squat. Try and do 7 reps of these for 7 sets with 3 to 5 minutes in between. Now, do these before or after your session. That's your preference. If these are too hard, check out rolling pistol squats. Now, a lot of raw power in your lower and upper body comes from your mental game, of course. We'll get into that later on. And last but not least, the objective of your lower body is to assist with the top out. And most importantly here is mastering the art of mantling, which is hard to do since most gyms don't have that many mantles to practice on. So to get better at mantling, don't shy away from heel hooks and try to do at least 50 push-ups during your regular bouldering session, making up several problems that end at the same mantle from different angles seem to work as well. Again, repetition is key. Chapter 3. Timing. There's timing involved in every part of a double dyno. How many times should I swing to create momentum? When should I launch in my swing? When should I release my hands? When do I start bringing in my second hand? When will I finally top this problem? So let's start with one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make with double dynos. Swinging too many times. I've seen people swing 10 times or more to then produce a small jump upwards. Sadly enough, your swings don't keep generating more momentum, and they actually start tiring your arms and legs out. But not doing any swings doesn't work too. Swinging actually helps to warm up your legs for producing maximal power and create precious momentum that can guide you up the wall. Now, my personal recommendation is the following. Swing 2 times and release on the second one. So, you're doing 1 swing to warm up your legs, create momentum and focus on the task at hand, and a second serious swing with some more power and gusto that results in a confident launch. So if you're doing a 3rd swing or more, you're doubting yourself, tiring your arms out, and consequently decreasing your chances of topping the problem. So timing rule number 1, 1 swing and go. Next step is timing the release of your hands after they've pulled you upwards. You'll want to release with your chest as close to the wall as possible. This way, you won't lose any power on traveling away from the wall, and this enhances our chance of latching onto the finishing holds. Now, to train and test this, find a good set of starting holds and some big finishing holds at different distances. Now, experiment with releasing your hands when closer to the wall and when further away from it. So, timing rule number 2, chafed nipples are trophies. Timing the catch of the last hold also depends on the amount of force you're applying with both lower and upper body. You're always trying to achieve a dead point. This is when you perfectly time your next move so that your fingers don't overreach by even the slightest, resulting in a clean grab with less backlash. This is again trained with repetition. Try the dead point every move. It's energy efficient, and when mastered, it looks amazing. So timing rule number 3, dead pointing. Start doing it now. The last chapter. The mental game, before, during, and after an attempt. When trying Rainbow Rocket, I quickly noticed that I had to take control of my mental state if I wanted to succeed. The initial wave of gleeful hope at sending an 8A was quickly swept away by frustration on the first fail. Each time that I didn't get closer or touch the final hold, a small fire of frustration started burning inside me, tensing up my shoulder and neck and souring my thoughts with doubts of failure. So throughout the 3-hour process and 33 tries of Rainbow Rocket, I figured out a way to influence my mental state and to achieve control over my frustration and unlock raw power from deep within. Let's start with breathing. The 2 minutes before your attempt on a double dyno should be dedicated to hyping yourself up while loosening and oxygenating your muscles. So to achieve this, slowly change your breathing to more powerful breaths, in through the nose and out through the mouth. The last 30 seconds, feel free to increase the speed of your breaths as well. Only in the last moments, you'll quickly slow down your breathing to a normal intensity again to increase focus on the current objective. You're building up adrenaline and power by intensifying your breathing. Now after this, try to exhale during your launch, as if you're a balloon that shoots up, releasing air along the way. And if you feel comfortable doing this, feel free to hold your breath while swinging before your launch. Your next inhale should preferably be when catching the top hold. Now, if you don't catch the top hold, inhale on the way down and immediately and consciously loosen your whole body, exhaling very deeply. Switch to a very low gear of breathing. Slow, long breaths accompanied with shakeouts and reassuring thoughts. Assess your body and previous attempts objectively, as if you're a pilot controlling a mecha suit. You've got 5 minutes of cool down before you've got full power again, so spend the first 2 minutes breathing in this slow fashion. After that, follow up with a minute of normal breathing. Now, during this minute, you'll state your intention in the next attempt. Maybe your foot was slightly off last time and you didn't swing hard enough. If so, then you'll proclaim, "Okay, I'll pay more attention to my left foot and hold back less when swinging." Say this out loud and focus yourself. Now it's time to start intensifying your breathing again, as discussed in the beginning. It's a cycle of speeding up breathing and hyping up your mind and body, followed by slowing down breathing and calming and motivating the mind while resting the body. Then a short period of goal setting and focusing to once again start speeding up your breath. Now, don't feel bad about being in your own world when doing this. Focus on yourself and the double dyno. It's important to release tension after failing an attempt and creating the right tension when attempting again. Let go of anger, frustration, and doubts. Another way to do this is power screaming. Letting go of your doubts by crying out some prehistorical roar seems to work for most people. Feel free to give it a try when your surroundings allow for it. And if frustration does rise too high, literally turn away from the rock and meditate for 5 minutes, back resting against the boulder. After that, focus on the task at hand again. Now, I hope that you improve your double dyno game with these guidelines. Of course, there are a million more ways to train these, so feel free to share your training methods with me on Instagram at boldbouldering. And that's that for this episode. If you enjoyed it, feel free to subscribe or leave a review. And you'll hear me next time on the Bold Bouldering Podcast. Thank you.